Hello. As always, Masha tells you stories and welcomes you to the fourth episode of a podcast, Film Gracia Artis, or Film, if shortly. Here share tales that inspire and reveal unique experiences of creators, makers, and lovers of all kinds. I hope you find this program interesting and encouraging whatever you do. Practice art, enjoy living, and learning about other people's creativity, backgrounds, and naive dreams that lead them to marvelous discoveries. Dreams hold deep psychological, emotional, and cultural, and even spiritual ground for humans. Across history and disciplines, they've been seen as everything from random mental activity to profound messages from subconscious. Childhood dreams of becoming someone, whether a dancer, firefighter, artist, or astronaut, hold deep meaning. They are not just whimsical fantasies, but powerful expressions of identity, curiosity, and child's early understanding of the world. There are several ways how we can interpret them. Firstly, dreams state for early self-expression. These dreams reflect a child's innate interests, values, and personality. A child who dreams of becoming a teacher may naturally be nurturing or drawn to communication. One who wants to be an inventor may love solving problems or building things. Childhood dreams often give clues to a child's emerging sense of self. Secondly, dreams provide imaginative freedom. Before life imposes expectations, childhood is a time of unbounded imagination. These dreams often defy limitations. Kids believe they can be superheroes, mermaids, or even multiple things at once. That's a space where they explore endless possibilities without fear of failure. Thirdly, dreams serve reflection of environment. A child's dreams are shaped by what they see, admire, or are exposed to. A child grown up around musicians may want to be a singer. One raised near the ocean might dream of becoming a marine biologist or a sailor. These dreams often mirror what feels exciting, heroic, or meaningful in the world. Finally, dreams reflect symbolic desires and prepare for the foundation of a future identity. Often, dreams are metaphors. Wanting to be a doctor or a vet might symbolize a desire to help. Becoming a pilot might reflect a craving for freedom or escape. Even fantastical dreams can reflect real emotional needs, safety, connection, and purpose. While not all childhood dreams become careers, they often influence lifelong passions or personal narratives. Dreams remind us of our first inspirations, and sometimes resurface later in the tapestry of our lives, because they are the first threads we weave into our identity. They do matter, not because we must fulfill them, but because they connect us to our raw, unfiltered sense of wonder and longing. Even as adults, remembering what we once dreamed of becoming can help us reconnect with who we are at our core. Now, let's close our eyes and imagine that we are putting on a space suit and helmet and stepping into an endless space of imagination to meet up with what we dreamed about in our childhood. Some of you might have rather exotic memories, and perhaps there was a moment once upon a quiet afternoon when the sky seemed just a little bit closer. Maybe you remember lying in the grass or looking out of a window, tracing the soft blue into a deep mystery, wondering what it would be like to float beyond it all. And maybe, without needing to try, an image appears. Or a helmet is too big, made from a bowl or a bucket and stars drawn in crayon, or maybe not an image but just a feeling, a pull, a curiosity, that wide open dream of becoming an astronaut. Not just someone who flies through space, but someone who reaches, someone who wanders, someone who shapes their perception of the world of all the people on Earth, demonstrating how the planet looks from above and how beautiful the universe is. And as you remember that child, maybe it's you, maybe it's someone else, you might notice how the dream still lives quietly somewhere inside, like a gentle spark, not needing to be reignited, just remembered. Just feel it again, in your own time. Feel it and put a hand into your pocket. What is there? Is there a ball of threads or a scrap of fabric and tiny little needle? Take them out and sew and stitch while zero gravity. How is it? Feels complicated? And as the spacecraft humps softly all around, there you are, floating gently on a quiet corner. Hands steady, breathe slow, thread in hand, needle guiding through soft fabric with ease. The cabin lights cast a golden glow, reflected in the smooth curve of the scissors, the glint of the needle outside the window, stars, infinite, silent, watching. But here, time stretches. Every stitch anchors you. One loop is like a breath. Another ties memory to motion, and before long, the gentle rhythm of sewing begins to feel like a kind of language, wordless, peaceful, ancient. And maybe, as the thread moves, you remember something soft, a home, a voice, a moment, and maybe you don't even need to remember, you just feel whole. Even here, in the middle of the stars, you are still you, stitch by stitch. Well, it was the fragment of covered hypnosis, soothing and letting you imagine a quiet act of sewing on board a spaceship that evokes calmness, inner focus and connection to self, even the vast unknown. But how about the evidence if anyone among the astronauts ever practiced stitching in space? Well, there is no widespread documentation of embroidery and stitching like primary activities on spaceships. Individuals have engaged in it during space traveling. Some astronauts have brought and used embroidery supplies during missions to create personal items or as a stress relief activity. However, zero gravity and space constraints would likely limit the scope of such activities. Astronauts frequently perform manual tasks, often similar to handcrafts. They do stitching or patching equipment or fabric components, especially in emergencies, for example, spacesuit tears or insulation damage. They use tools and fasteners in limited spaces, which demands excellent hand coordination and focus. They are trained to manage this in bulky gloves during spacewalks, like crafting with oven mitts on. Without gravity, threads, needles, and fabric can float freely, making them difficult to work with, which adds some challenge to using them. Astronauts might use specialized tools with magnetic bases, clamps, or Velcro to hold materials in space because creativity has no limits, even in zero gravity. In such a condition, making art or doing craft takes on a whole new dimension. But unfortunately, sewing craft is an activity that is practiced to a limited extent on spaceships, resulting from the episode of the fire that happened in 1967 on Apollo 1. Since then, all flammable materials, including regular textiles and embroidered patches, have been banned on spacecrafts and substituted with mission patches printed on special cloth rather than embroidered due to fire safety regulations. In 2013, things took a creative turn in space when astronaut Karin Niebuhr brought her passion for hand stitching to the International Space Station. A devoted fan of sewing, she crafted a star-themed quilt block working in orbit. Her small act of creativity sparked something big, the Astronomical Quilt Block Challenge, which invited quilters around the world to contribute space-inspired quilt blocks connecting Earth and space through the art of stitching. Niebuhr's quilting project in space was a unique and inspiring endeavor that resulted in 28 quilts from over 2,000 submissions, demonstrating a wide interest in both space exploration and needlework. The project showcased the creativity and artistry of individuals, connecting art enthusiasts with the wonders of space. Niebuhr, serving as a flight engineer on the station, used her limited free time in orbit to experiment with her hobby of sewing. She shared a small Texas state flag she simply made from red, white, and blue fabric that she cut from t-shirts she had worn during her stay on the orbiting outpost. The flag, she said, is a memento of her husband, fellow astronaut Doug Harley. In addition, she sewed a small stuffed dinosaur for her son by stitching together the fabric lining scraps from Russian space food containers. Sewing in space, Karin considered tricky, but her example raised the interest of neurologists and psychologists working with space agents like NASA and ESA have long emphasized the importance of fine motor activities, mindfulness practice, and creative outlets for astronauts. Needlework fits beautifully within that advice, reducing stress, homesickness, and sensory deprivation by providing astronauts with a calming, meditative activity. Karen Nyberg's Kilting in Space showed how craft can adapt to even the most unusual settings and impact mental health. Her effort was more than just a hobby. It beautifully blended science and art, inspiring people who are passionate about both space exploration and creative expressions. The absence of gravitation or microgravity opens a whole new realm of artistic inspiration by altering the very principles we take for granted, like gravity, balance, and motion. In this unique environment, an individual is challenged and inspired to rethink how materials behave, how the body moves, and how space itself can be used as a canvas for collaboration between artists, scientists, and engineers to transform space missions into cultural events. A new type of performance where creativity coexists with research, and art helps communicate science in emotionally resonant ways. One such resonance communication came in 2022 when Ebru Kurbak, an internationally working artist based in Vienna, presented her research results and the exhibition piece that cast the light on revolutionary craft objects, the spindle, and its artistic reinvention in the condition of zero gravity. Her project was awarded the Art and Technology Grant by the Los Angeles County Museum of Arts, and I should say that this is curious and extraordinary work, since it's not about hobbies, but about realizing a dream of making art in space, or at least the condition of zero gravity. The project explores traditionally feminized and often overlooked textile crafts, like hand spinning, braiding, knotting, netting, and tatting, within the unique conditions of microgravity and low gravity. Also, Kurbak dives into the hidden nature of everyday spaces and objects, technologies and routings, and how the design of the ordinary is involved in the use of spaces and ideologies. She explores traditional fiber craft as a heir of such tradition. She inspects the issue of zero gravity, curious about it, as a daughter of engineer. She feels weightless as an astronaut, doing experiments for greater conversation around the ramifications of space research and colonization. She dreamt about being in a space where she didn't belong, about realizing some ideas from the past. They were not realized, and Ebru imagined how they could have looked. And these dreams brought her to NASA archives that didn't have any record of fiber experiments held in zero gravity, despite that the first woman in space was a textile worker. Kurbak was lucky to merge a really old technology of fiber spinning that challenged the life of humanity thousands of years before Christianity with the modern high-tech environment and brought it to space, daring to unlock the meaning and the conflict of this connection and her emotions about it too. She wonders why there can't be gravitational crafting if humanity has gravitational biology and physics. Why are there little experiments with fibers in space? That is just a beautiful example of where dreams can lead us, because they can go as far as our current understanding of what is possible and what is not possible. Both heroes of today pay tribute to their innate sense of creativity, reflecting on what they once dreamed of becoming, reconnected with who they are today. Whoever you dreamt of becoming in your childhood, and whatever you have become today, I wish you to follow your dreams. They know the way. And I will be back soon.